All right, Psalm 119. We are finishing this section. And you know what that means? One left. Absolutely. And I was kind of mapping things out, and looks like we're going to kind of finish up right at the end of the month of May, and maybe we should have a celebration or something, you know? Maybe a Sunday night without, like, preaching, right? You get a break from the pastor. No? Oh, shucks. No, I'm just kidding. I love preaching. I do. It's fun for me. It may not be fun for you, but it's fun for me. No, I'm excited. We're rolling down here and to the end. And so for one more time, let's go ahead and stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, reading these eight verses, Psalm 119, verses 161 through 168. Altogether, we'll read these eight verses, 161 through 168. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoiced at thy word, as thy one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept my testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. So as we continue to look at this, these eight verses, and just kind of in overview, if you will, David speaks about princes that are persecuting him without a cause. And may I say that most persecution that the Christian will face in our lifetime is going to be without a cause. They think that they are being persecuted by us just because we're maybe being bold about what is sin and what's not. And sometimes they think that we're persecuting them because we're showing them up by not doing those things. But really, just right living, holy living, godly living, we're persecuted for, and if you will, without a cause. And that's just how it is. And God says that we ought to rejoice when that takes place. When we're persecuted for Christ's sake. When they're against us for doing simply what God asks us to do. We learned in our Sunday school lesson this morning in our adult class that, you know, we don't have to be snide or rude or ugly about it. We can just do what's right and speak the truth, if you will, as the Bible says, in love, and go about our business as we ought to as God's people. And God will care for us. He'll stand up for us. So David says these princes are persecuted, but he says, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I do hope that this book is an awesome book to you. You ought to open its pages and you just ought to stand in awe of the Word of God. I don't have time, and maybe we'll jump into this in another occasion, but this book and the way it was compiled and put together is miraculous. It is awesome. And furthermore, in the King James Version, all the things that came together, all the things that were done, all the things that have been done, you ought to stand in awe of this book. It's amazing. No other book has been put together like this book has. None. It's a one of a kind. Because it's the Word of God. And you ought to stand in awe of His Word. Then David said, I rejoice at thy word. Are you happy about it? Hey, the Word of God ought to bring joy to your life. He said, hey, I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Whoa! Okay, that's how it should be. It ought to be amazing to you. Like you just, well, we don't play the lottery, but like you just won the lottery. Even better than that, right? And it says here that this thing of finding great spoil, we rejoice at his word as one that findeth great spoil. Then he says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. And there's going to be this division. When we actually get to the point where we truly love the word of God, that natural opposite of hating and abhorring lying will take place. Because God's word is true. There are no errors in it. I mean, there are no lies in it. It is absolutely perfect. And the opposite of that is lying. And we ought to hate and abhor lying. It ought to make us sick, if you will. It ought to, because we love the word of God so much, that other stuff is naturally pushed away. Like Job was a righteous man that feared God and escheweth evil. He pushed it away. It was like a repellent. You know? That's how it ought to be. Because of our love for the word of God. And as we went along, and he said, seven times a day. This was last week. He says, do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments? Seven times a day. We talked about that kind of that number of completion. And how, I thought about it this week. Did anybody think about that this week? Amen. A couple of you. Fantastic. I hope that maybe you tried it out and counted out how many times you actually praised God each day. Did it surprise you? Or did you naturally just make it because you're just way better than me? Okay. Well, I found myself a few of the days coming up short at the end. I'm like, whoa, I need to do better. but seven times a day, he said. Then he said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, when we're at peace with God, nothing can offend us. Because when we're at peace with God, we're right alongside with what he wants us to do. We're walking down that path. We're in tune with him. We're in line with him. And listen, that's where we ought to want to be. And then he said, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. So as we kind of finish off here, I'm going to take the last part of that and continue on, because David says in verses 167 and 168, twice he says, first of all, in 167, my soul hath kept. And then in 168, he says, I have kept. And in verse 166, he says, and done thy commandments. You see, it's one thing to say, but it's a whole other thing to do. It's one thing to say, but a whole nother thing to do. I thought this was interesting. As we go through, with the exception of verse 161, David uses the word I to describe his feelings about the word of God. Did you notice that? In verse 162, I rejoice. In verse 163, I hate. And then he says later in that verse, I love. 64, he says, I praise. Then over there in 166, he says, I have hoped. And in verse 167, later on, he says, I love them. And then in 168, I have kept. You notice he says that a lot in this particular passage. That makes it personal, doesn't it? Between him and his God. But I want you to see the depth of David's feelings. He says in verse 167, he doesn't say, I have kept thy testimonies. He does say that in verse 168. But as he's talking to God, and he says, just before that, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. He then says, my soul. My soul hath kept thy testimonies. Is it a little bit different for you to say about yourself, I've done all these things, and then for you to say, my soul hath kept thy testimonies? Does anybody
get a different feeling about that. A different depth of emotion and meaning. I do. Because what is he talking about? He's not just saying me or I. He said my soul. He says my very being. Me at my core. My soul hath kept thy testimonies. Remember back in the beginning, God created, didn't he? What did he create? Lots of stuff. Oh, wait, everything. But in chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible tells us, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's amazing. That's amazing. And David says, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. My soul. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 86. I just think that we ought to pay attention when God changes things up a little bit. When instead, could he have just reasonably said, I have kept thy testimonies? And if you will, meant the same thing, right? But there is a depth to this. My very being, all that I encompasses me, kept thy testimonies. Are you there in Psalm 86? Look at this. Bow now thine ear, O Lord, hear me. For I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. You see the depth of the emotion there of David? Talking about his soul and his heart. You understand that we believe that man is a trichotomy. Body, soul, and spirit. Three parts to man. See, why do we believe that? Because there's three parts to God. We're created in the image of God. That just makes sense. But you see, our never dying soul, when God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. We have a soul. We have a spirit. We have a body. These things make up us. So when I say, I have kept thy testimonies, what am I talking about? You see, in Scripture, oftentimes God refers to himself as God, right? And then sometimes it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You understand how this all works, right? Because our three favorite people are me, myself, and I, right? We're three parts. But you see here, David says, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. Over in Leviticus chapter 5, it says, in giving of the law, Moses said, if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. So what does that say? A soul can do what? Sin. And David says, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. So what can a soul do? Cannot sin. Right? We can keep his testimonies, and we can also sin against God and his testimonies. We say there's a provision there that this, if you sin, even if you don't know it, you're still guilty and shall bear his iniquity. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And then he says this. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. There you go. You see, it's important that we understand the depth of keeping God's word, doing what we're supposed to do, living how we're supposed to live. Can you say, my soul hath kept thy testimonies? I hope so. We ought to live this way. We ought to be this way. This should be who we are. And I think that's what really is what's trying to be exemplified here, is that this is just who David was. There was no pretense. There was no other thing that he was. His soul hath kept God's testimonies. Is that how we live? Or are we like some, and we live one way in one place and another way in another place? We ought to be consistent, should we not? And down to our very core of our being, of who we are, our soul should keep his testimonies. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible tells us about the word of God. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit. Soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's your relationship with the Word of God? Are you keeping his testimonies, his precepts, his commandments, his word, his law, has your soul kept them? Your very being kept them. In Deuteronomy 26, Moses said, "This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep them and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken." And everybody says, "Pastor Combs, you're stuck in the past. You're delusional. That's the Old Testament. We're in the age of grace. That no longer applies." First Peter chapter 2 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should live under grace and sin whenever you want to, because it's convenient." And it doesn't matter, a hill of beans. Did you know that hill of beans was in the Bible? I didn't either. No! "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." It still applies. This thing of holy living. Hey, this thing of just being who you say you are, that your soul hath kept thy testimonies. Go back to Psalm 119. The rest of verse 167 says, And I love them exceedingly. Now, we've talked about this thing of loving God's word. And for sake of time, I'm not going to go and rehash all those verses. I may read a few of them. But can I just tell you something? You got to get the love meter out and figure out how much you love God's word. And you know where it ought to peg? It ought to peg on exceedingly. That's where it should. Your love for this book should just go bink. I mean, it should. It should peg the meter every time. You all know what that statement means, right? You know what peg the meter is? It's kind of like when you put your foot all the way on the gas pedal. No. No. I mean, anybody ever measure something with like electricity? Right? And maybe you didn't have the voltmeter set low enough or on the right scale. And you go, and it goes, your poor little needle almost flies off the screen. Yeah, that's what it should be. "And I love them exceedingly." It ought to be no measurement for it. It ought to be no comparison. It ought to just throw it off every time. "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." You know what that sounds like? That sounds like someone who loves them exceedingly. The love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. That goes back to my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. How's your meter doing in the measuring of your love for the Word of God? Remember the verses that we've gone over. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 119. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. Verse 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Verse 163. We just read in review. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Deuteronomy 11. Moses said, therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. What is that? That's the soul that's kept them and loves them exceedingly. Did not Jesus reiterate this principle? If you love me, keep my commandments. They're synonymous. They go together. And our exceeding love anchors our soul to its word. The word of God. You see, I love it. That means we're anchored to it. That's who we are at our core. So I think the emphasis is simply that of our very being, keeping and loving the very Word of God. How much? How much do you? You see, there was a group of people that Jesus encountered. And I don't have time, but you can go back and read all of Matthew chapter 23. And I think the title in my Bible says, The Seven Woes to the Pharisees. Now, I don't have time for all of that, unless you want to stay, because you didn't flip fast enough, so we're running out of time. But in verse 25, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. What did these Pharisees and these scribes and these Sadducees and these religious rulers tout? I love the scriptures. I love God. I love the law of God. Was not that their bread and butter? I mean, wasn't that what they were all about? They were holy. Oh, you're a sinner. Don't touch me. Don't come near me. I pray, Father, that you'll bless me and please care for this poor sinner. I mean, why did sepulchers? Because you know what? Their soul didn't love his testimonies. He said, hey, you look good, but you're unclean. You're hypocrites. You're full of dead men's bones. You're wicked. You're evil. That's rough. But you know what? God knows the depth of our love for him and his word. That brings us to verse 168. Look at it. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. Now, we've already covered this extensively, yes? But now, look what he says. He says, God, don't take my word for it. You can see it in my life. He says this, for all my ways are before thee. You know, there's nothing that God doesn't know about you. You know, we talk about how in our lives we ought to give over everything to God, right? And how some of our downfall is because we keep things from God. You understand what we're talking about there, right? But can I say, even though you keep something from God, not letting Him have control over it, He knows about it! He knows about it. We like to keep our sin hidden in darkness, don't we? Years and years ago, probably one of the first couple of years I was at the academy there in Arlington, I talked to the kids, and it was probably a chapel message, I'm sure, but it was I was talking and preaching about pet sins. You know, our little pet sins, when they're small, they're really cute, you know, and we kind of put them in our little pocket, and oh, you're a cute little sin. And do you know what happens to those things? They grow. And they get ugly. They get big and ugly. And they take over your life. And I think I started with like a little straw, maybe it was. And then I went to like a hose. And then I went to like a air conditioning duct. And then I went to the big size one. And I got inside of it. And it was like swallowed up by it. It was pretty cool. Should I do that here? Okay. I'll just go dig out my notes. Find those duct works again. But I was just trying to illustrate how they take over our lives. But can I tell you something? I only said that to say this. You may try to keep that little pet sin secret from all of us. But God knows. God knows. And David simply says, he says, look, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. In Job 23, Job's answer to his friend's accusations. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, does that sound like a man sure of himself? Yes. Does this in Psalm 119 sound like a man sure of himself? Yes. He says, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Can we be so bold as David? Can we be so bold as Job? Hey, fast forward to the book of Acts. as Paul is standing in judgment. Can we be so bold as the Apostle Paul? Hey, we were talking about in our Sunday school class, as Peter and John and the apostles stand before the council, can we be so bold as they, knowing that they've not done anything amiss? That they followed the word of God to the letter? Can we be so bold? You know what my answer is? I hope so. I hope so. We ought to want that kind of life. You know where that comes from? That love meter pegging out. Yeah. That's where it comes from. It comes from my soul having kept thy testimonies. And I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. David said in Psalm 18, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Remember the admonition of Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, when we're not what we ought to be, we really don't want to be in his presence. We don't really want to challenge him and say, God, take a look at my resume. Take a look at my ways. Do we? Take your Bible and go to 1 John chapter 1. I want to give you a little bit of encouragement that just perhaps, if things aren't going so well currently, they can. You know, that's the wonderful thing about being born again. We do have an advocate. Remember, I told you that's going to be a good name of a law firm. Jesus Christ, the righteous law firm. Are you here? Look at this verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, David said, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. He said, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. You know, I'm so glad that we're not talking about a perfect man in David. Did he have his ups and downs? Yes, he did. Just go read Psalm 51. You understand? We have the opportunity that if we're not right, if that love meter for the Word of God is not pegged, we can change that. You can change that. Hey, if you're not living your life the way you should, If you can't look at God square in the eyeballs and say, God, look at my ways, they're right before you. We can get it right. We can make it right. And guess what? That's what God wants. If we're wrong, He wants us right. And then once we're right, He wants us to stay there. But aren't you glad the verse in the Bible says, a righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Hey, He is long-suffering. He is merciful. He is forgiving. He will receive you. I hope that this passage of eight scriptures has been an encouragement to you, has been a challenge to you about the wonderful Word of God.